When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's talk more about all this with the Diddy. He has seen a lot of Eagle seasons, and we're starting to... Super Bowl. We're starting to sniff it a little bit. Now, maybe that's a little premature. Maybe all the calls week two and four and five and seven and eight, Blass and Sirianni, were a little premature. Let's see how it nets out for the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. And, of course, he is brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life, it happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate. The Diddy, a true Hall of Famer, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Joe. How are you doing?
Ray, I'm thinking those two words. And I know it's ridiculous because a couple weeks ago, everyone was like, they might not even make the playoffs. But, man, Ray, they do. And, of course, grain of salt when you consider the five teams they've beaten the last 5 weeks. But the Eagles really have become a pretty damn good team, Ray.
They have. They have. I mean, that's fair to say. It's also fair to say that they've beaten five, won five in a row, but they've all been bad teams.
Yeah.
That's fair to say, too. I mean, you probably should. I mean, just to keep some sense of equilibrium, you probably have to put that into the mix, too. But you can't deny the fact they're playing very well. They're playing very well. And, yesterday, it's funny. I mean, yesterday, it didn't feel like they ran the ball all that great, and at the end of the game, they ran for 187 yards. It wasn't the game that you're. It wasn't the game like the Giants game a couple weeks ago, where Saquon Barkley is just taking the thing over, and you're saying, "My God, they're just running this team into the ground." You didn't get that feeling yesterday, but at the end of the day, 38 carries, 187 yards, and they averaged 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's the kind of thing that it just sort of sneaks up on you.
I agree. Ray, what impressed you the most yesterday?
Oh, the defense. The defense. I know the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't very good, and I know that Cooper Rush isn't a very good quarterback, and all of that stuff. But the defense, it's now been over a period of weeks now that the defense has been playing this good. I mean, the last five games, they're giving up an average of 10 points a game. They're giving up just barely over 200 yards. Last three games, they've had 10 takeaways. Defensively, and the thing is, they're playing so fast. They're playing so physical. They're swarming around the ball. They're tackling really well. I mean, earlier in the year, I remember doing a show with you. I guess it was probably after the Tampa game. Probably was. When we were talking about, this is a really bad tackling team. And at the time, that was fair to say. But since coming out of the bye, I mean, Vic Fangio has really tightened that defense up, and they're playing really well right now. And it'll be interesting to see, what they do on Thursday when they play against a much better team and a much better offense with more playmakers and a dynamic young quarterback, to see if they can do that again. But the way they're playing right now is really, really impressive. And, offensively, Hurts had a couple turnovers yesterday. But other than that, I mean, he played really well, and they continue to control the game on the ground, and they're doing the things that winning teams do. And the fact is that at 7-2 right now, they're sitting in a pretty good place.
Ray, what was the major difference that you saw that made the second half look so much nicer for our offense?
I thought what happened in this game, and I kind of thought you might walk into this down there because of the situation the Cowboys found themselves in. I mean, their season had totally gone off the rails. They were playing at home. They were 0-3 at home. They're giving up an average of like 35 points a game at home. They're getting just brutalized in the press. They're getting brutalized on sports talk radio down there. They're being made into a national laughing stock. And I just had a feeling that even though the Eagles were the far, far better team, that they were walking into a tough spot down there because, the Cowboys were in a position where this was one of those kind of circle the wagons game. This is kind of our last stand game. And I thought you were going to walk into that, and you did. In the first half, you kind of did. And Mike Zimmer, who was the defensive coordinator, I mean, he threw everything he had at the Eagles in the first half. I mean, they were blitzing. They were doing some stuff that is not really typical of Mike Zimmer. But, I mean, he threw everything he had and then some at the Eagles in the first half to the point where, I mean, they were all over the place. I mean, you know, Hurts had 12 dropbacks, and he was sacked 5 times. So that was not easy. I mean, you look at the final score, it looks easy. But watching the first half wasn't easy. But what I think what impressed me was that the Eagles never got flustered with that, that they just continued doing what they were doing. And there was just the feeling there that, look, we'll work this thing out. We've made a couple of mistakes. We're going to have to adjust to a few things. You know, okay, well, they're coming at us maybe a little bit more than we thought we were. But, we're the better team. We'll figure this out. And, you know, they got that touchdown late in the first half, which really helped. Yeah. They had that nice drive, and they scored a touchdown late at the end of the first half. And you kind of get the feeling that they're back in control. And then in the second half, they came out, and they were totally in control. But that's, you know, that's the NFL. I mean, every week you look at the scores in the NFL. You look around the scoreboard at the end of the day. And there's always a couple of games where you just say, damn, how did that happen? You know, I mean, that, you know, how did that team beat that team? That just, and for a while there in the first half, you were starting to wonder, you know, are the Eagles in one of those games right now? Are the Eagles in, are the Eagles going to be that team that tonight people say, damn, how did that happen? Right. And I think maybe fans could have thought that, feared that. But I don't think the team did. It looked to me like the team knew exactly where they were, knew exactly what they were up against, and had total confidence that, don't worry, you know, we got this. It's just going to take us a little longer maybe to get control of it, but we're going to get control of it. Just that kind of the way they went about it in the second, at the end of the first half when they scored that touchdown and then came out in the second half, complete total control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I sort of took away from it. They won a game that they should have won, and they won it maybe a little tougher than they thought, but that's not the bad thing either. But now you have to look at the reality. Now you have to look at the fact that you have a really short turnaround.
Yeah.
You got to play a really good team who's right there with you, almost shoulder to shoulder on Thursday night. And then beyond that, then you got a long trip to Los Angeles. You got to play the Rams, and then you got to play Baltimore down in Baltimore. So
how shoulder to shoulder, Ray? This Washington team, it really short week. How good are they?
I think offensively, I think they're quite good. Defensively, they had a lot of problems, but I think Quinn has done a really good job putting things in place. I mean, early in the season, 3 weeks into the season, they were like the 25th ranked defense, and that's sort of where I thought they were. And now you look at where they are, and they're much better. I mean, they've improved steadily. Mm-hmm. But I think the Eagles have, I hesitate to say a big advantage, but I think they have a significant advantage in this game coming up, because the Eagles won their game yesterday fairly comfortably. I mean, they got complete control of the game in the second half, and in the fourth quarter, you had most of your key players on the bench, and they were able to cruise control through the second half of that game. Really, they were. Whereas you look at what Washington went through yesterday. I mean, they just had a brutal game. I mean, they just had a brutal toe-to-toe, total slugfest with a really tough Steelers team and went up losing it in heartbreaking fashion at the end. And now I think that's the kind of game that's tougher physically and emotionally to come back from on a short week than where the Eagles are, which is a pretty comfortable win where a lot of your key players got some rest in the fourth quarter. You know, and the fact that the Eagles are playing at home, I think those things factored together doesn't guarantee you anything, but I think it gives the Eagles a better situation trying to go into the game on Thursday night.
The Diddy, Ray Dittinger with us, as he is every Monday at this time. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Of course, the game Ray's talking about, John's talking about that Thursday, that is a big game, and that's going to be a really coveted ticket, the most coveted ticket this year for the Birds for sure. And, of course, Rhea, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we give tickets away. I mean, the ticket's ultimately given away Thursday, but reminder to everyone listening, you got to listen tomorrow at 8, Wednesday at 8, and Thursday at 8, because on Thursday, after 3 days, we're giving the tickets away.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And the way the game is played is you got to know the name we say at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Three different names. String those names together on Thursday when we give you the cue to call and you can win them. So listen and win. Ray, let's talk about Sirianni for a moment here. I'm curious if you think the town owes him an apology. And here's what I mean by this. Not for criticism of him going for fourth and you know, 17, which never happened, but you get the point. I mean, he had some bad decisions, and I think the town was proper to criticize him at times. However, the narrative out there for most was the guy's a joke. He's a bad coach. Does the town owe him an apology for those kind of sentiments?
Oh, I don't know. It kind of comes with the territory, you know. I think that if you listen, I mean, the criticism for people to be unhappy. I mean, this all sort of rolls back to the Cleveland game, you know, where he's yapping with the fans there at the end of that game. It sort of really started there. Was that a bad look? Yeah, it was. You know, there was. I mean, I think as a coach, you're always just better off to ignore that kind of stuff. It's hard to do. I mean, human nature, you kind of want to say something back, but if you're a head coach in the NFL, you're better off to just walk away from that kind of stuff. He didn't. I mean, he's not wired that way. But if he's going to do that, then he's going to get some blowback, which he did. And then off of the last game, you know, when people were questioning his decision-making against Jacksonville, totally warranted. I mean, you coach a game that way, people are going to ask you questions. I think that, listen, if he feels like that people owe him an apology, well, okay, that's on him. But I think that in this town particularly, you're going to have to expect that. I mean, if you're going to be a coach in this town, you kind of have to expect
well,
that.
Well, Ray, let me ask the question
but
if I could.
Here's the thing, Joe. I mean, you just got the overriding thing. From week to week, people's feeling about coaches is going to change based on win or lose, based on decisions that are made. I mean, that's, you know, the people are going to be taking your temperature all the time in this town. And some weeks it's going to be hotter than others. But you have to. I have always been kind of a long view kind of guy, the big picture kind of guy. I look at somebody's entire body of work and look. Was I frustrated with him watching the game against Jacksonville? Absolutely, because some of the decisions to me didn't make sense then; they don't make sense now. But the fact of the matter is, you look at his record and you look at the fact that, I mean, almost every year he's been coaching this team 7-2, 9 weeks into the season. Well, that's damn good. You know, and you can credit the players, and you should, but the head coach has got to get some credit for that, too. And, you know, I think that from week to week, if he's going to do some things that are going to drive you nuts, which I think he's inclined to do, you kind of have to take a step back and just say, yeah, you know what, some of it's unorthodox, and some of it ain't what I would do in that situation, but the fact of the matter is, you look at his record, and the guy does win.
Doesn't it seem like he's, I don't know, comporting himself differently after the games now? I don't know what it is.
I do, John. But I think, Ray, here's what I was more driving. And, Ray, John, I agree with you. But, Ray, here's what I'm more driving at. I think he's a good coach. You know, like all that other stuff aside, not the fourth down decisions, that's part of it, but how he acts aside, I think he's a quality NFL coach. And I think most people in this town have not been willing to say that.
The record would certainly say that. I mean, you have to ultimately judge everybody by the record, and his record is really good. I mean, he's got the highest winning percentage of any coach that's ever coached this team.
Would another coach have the same success, Ray? I don't even know what to compare this to.
Well, here's the point, Ray. Here's the counterbalance in the four years. They have faced a lot of bad teams, a lot, with quarterbacks out. This team stinks. I mean, they have had an easy schedule for most of the 3.5 years he's been their coach.
I don't
know that you can say you had an easy schedule for 3.5 years.
The talent differential. Let's talk. I think what I feel is there's a talent differential between our team and a lot of our opponents.
Well, that's
usually. And I know that Nick has done a great job with this team's winning record, but I wonder if we had ended up with Dan Quinn here by some stretch of fate, if we would be better off.
Yeah, well, who knows? All right, Ray, let's get to a couple other things.
One thing I would say is I think he is. Look, I've been covering this team a long time and watching them even longer, and I don't think I've ever seen an Eagles coach that's quite like this guy, in terms of the way he looks and acts and to borrow John's word, comports himself.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen a lot of coaches come through here, and I've never seen one quite like him who is as emotional, as wired the way he is. Some of the, you know, the gestures, the sideline behavior, and it's different, and it probably isn't to everybody's taste. But again, I think if you're any kind of a fan, you got to kind of rely on the bottom line. And yeah, you know, does this guy win? And this guy wins most of the time. And right now, the way they're playing, I mean, they're right there in the NFC. I mean, they're right there with the top teams with a chance to really do something.
Sure are. All right, Ray, let's do one more here as we look at it Thursday. And I'm curious, tail of the tape of the quarterbacks. Not who was better, not who will be better in future years. Who is better, Ray, Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels?
Oh, I mean, you got to go with Hurts because, I mean, there's a better sampling. I mean, we've seen him take a team to a Super Bowl. You know, mm-hmm. We've seen Jaden Daniels take a team through half a season. So if you ask me if I have to take one over the other, I'll take Hurts because I've seen him long-term and I've seen him win big games and I've seen him play really well. But, I mean, Daniels is very good. I felt that he was the best quarterback coming out in the draft. I liked him better than Williams at the time. I think that's been borne out. He plays with a poise that is uncommon among young quarterbacks. You know, when you look at his stats, I mean, I don't know what they are after yesterday's game, but going into the game, he had a quarterback rating of 130. I'm sorry, he had a quarterback rating of 107. But what I found interesting was, if you break it down, his quarterback rating in the fourth quarter was 130. And that's not likely. You don't see that with rookie quarterbacks. I mean, you'll have rookie quarterbacks that will have good seasons, and you look at their overall rating, can be pretty high. But if you break it down, generally the fourth quarter isn't as good because it's the fourth quarter, because there are bigger decisions to be made and the pressure's on and so forth. This kid's fourth quarters, he's been good the whole game, but his fourth quarters are his best quarters. That's very unusual for a rookie quarterback. And I saw an interview with Zach Ertz last week where Zach Ertz said, you know, people have got to stop talking about this guy as a rookie quarterback. I mean, he's way past the point of being a rookie. He might have been rookie week one, week two, but he ain't a rookie now. And if you watch him play, that's very true. So I think he's a real special player. And look, he's coming off a tough loss yesterday, and you know, he's playing with a bad rib injury, and I give him all the credit in the world for that. But I think that the Washington team, it's been a long time, but I think they finally have a quarterback they can build around. So I have the utmost respect for the guy. I had the utmost respect for him when I saw him play at LSU. But if you're asking me right now to put him on a scale, you know, I'll go with Jalen Hurts because I've seen him play a lot longer and I've seen him win the bigger games.
Ray, we love having you on the program, particularly with a 7-2 football team. We might even be talking to you weekly in that month of February, Ray. It's possible. Ray,
that would be fun.
That would be real fun. Ray, have a great rest of the day, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Actually,
guys do the same.
We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you, Ray. Okay. Ray Diddy right there. Of course, we'll have him on Friday, the day after the
game. Two Rays in 1 week.
You know, one of the biggest things is how Jalen's looking when he runs. He looks different. He looks better. He looks decisive. And he's grabbing some first downs that are very important. Good morning to you. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. Eagles with a convincing win yesterday. Now, whether it convinces you that they're a Super Bowl contender or not, well, that's in the eye of the beholder, which is why we get to a Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. The poll question, are the Eagles a legit Super Bowl contender? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. James, what's your biggest takeaway from yesterday? What are you thinking here?
Well, I think they're absolutely a legit Super Bowl contender. I thought it going into yesterday, and it's only confirmed. My biggest takeaway is that this is a really good football team. You know, they are a legitimately good football team. They've shown up. They've, for the most part, beaten the crap out of teams they're supposed to beat lately. Like, you know, I'm really excited for Thursday night. This is like our real first show me game of the season. Since the opener, I guess, in a way. You know,
yep.
First show me game of the season. So I feel great about this team. I really do.
Big game. Obviously, the defense has played great. It will be fascinating to see them against a better squad. Washington is, you know, I think the best team they've played since Green Bay, I guess. and maybe they're better than Green Bay, maybe not. But it'll be, look, Washington hasn't faced too many tough teams either. I mean, it is the reality of football when you face better teams. Like, look at the Bears. I mean, they're starting to lose, you know. So we'll see. But the Eagles look pretty damn good right now. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. See your reaction to yesterday and big picture what it means. Let's talk to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gang. Happy Monday.
Oh,
happy Monday, Mike.
Very happy Monday.
Very happy Monday. Listen, let's just get down to brass tacks here. You ask if this is a Super Bowl team, you damn right this is a Super Bowl team. Okay, this team is gelling right at the perfect time. It's the midway point of the season. It's coming together. You can just see it. They look crisper. You know, like, they just have a better speed to them. They're making plays. Like, do you remember what they looked like against Tampa? I mean, this is when everybody was on the ledge because they just look like a complete and utter disaster. But ever since, and Joe, I'm with you, ever since we crushed Nick after the Cleveland game, Nick's been different. Okay, this team is, and Nick has had this team ready to play every single game. I don't care if these teams are not, you know, elite level teams. The Eagles are showing up to play. It's still a little slow coming out of the gate, but what I see is a Super Bowl caliber team. And if anyone's questioning that now, I don't know what you're waiting for. We have a defense that is allowing the offense to get their rhythm together. Do you understand what I just said? An offense with Saquon, Jalen, AJ, Devontae, Dallas. Our defense is allowing them to find their tempo. We are so balanced. We are so balanced. I love this team. This is a team that we all thought they could be. We're going to go back to the Super Bowl.
All right, Mike, you got it, man. Look, the one thing I'll say when he says, what are you waiting for? I think what I'm waiting for, and I'm not saying they're not a Super Bowl contender because I think they are, but to feel solidified in that is them to face better competition. And I think that's fair. I mean, these five teams stink. Four of the five are horrendous. Cincy's the only one that's not horrendous. Dallas, Giants, Cleveland, and Jacksonville are just the dreck. They're horrendous. But the Eagles are taking care of business. Let's listen to Saquon Barkley after the game. I liked what he said about this football team.
You know, we hold ourselves to a high standard here because we know the talent that we have. And you know, it's funny, you know, I'd rather be a part of that than not. You know, we just beat Dallas by 25, 28 points. I don't know how many points beat them by in Dallas. And, you know, we're still sitting here saying we didn't do enough. That's a mindset we got to continue to have. And we know it's going to continue to grow with everyone in this locker room. The team mindset, do it with each other. And, you know, my favorite quote that, you know, Coach Sirianni always said, you can't be great without the greatness of others. And we have a lot of great people here, and we got to keep leaning on each other and trusting each other.
What's that look like if you guys haven't scratched the surface yet?
I don't know. Probably scared. I don't know.
I like it. I like it a lot. Let's get some calls in here. Seth in media. Seth, good morning.
Good morning, gang. Happy Victory Monday.
Indeed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, about the schedule that you had mentioned to Diddy there,
yeah.
3.5 years, they've had it's fair to say that they've had a bit of a softer schedule, but I'm telling you, man, I've been calling you guys for a while and I feel like I'm going to die on this hill. I don't hold too much weight with this soft schedule thing. Some games are supposed to be, you know, they are a little bit easier. They're going to be easier on paper. They're going to be easier on the field because of certain matchups, but you know, it's not to be corny with that any given Sunday thing, but you know, you're supposed to, these teams, bad teams will lose to bad teams. You know, you're supposed to take care of business.
Sure.
And no win in the NFL is necessarily an easy win. And, you know, you just got to listen to Chris Collinsworth, you know, just kissing Patrick Mahomes' butt. Anytime they, you know, they beat a bad team, he'll say, you know, no game is easy. You know, they even though they're supposed to beat these guys, it's not easy. And I think we got to remember that and keep that in perspective. And this team has the ability to roll. And the last caller hit it right on the head. You know, they're gelling at the right time. I'd rather play into the playoffs and get ahead of steam going than, you know, have a rough go towards the end. And I think they have the upper hand on some of these other teams that they had their butt handed to them in a high hat earlier in the season. They looked terrible. You know, they had that terrible game. They got smacked around. And, you know, I feel like they're learning to play through that adversity. And I just want to give props, too, to the cornerbacks, Quinion and yeah. Cooper, because I haven't seen a tandem like this since. I mean, I'm 45, so I remember Taylor and Vincent. You know what I mean? I remember obviously Sheldon Brown and
Lito
Shepherd. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. You know, I'm not. I'm not. You know, I don't want to say Super Bowl or bust right now, but I feel like with the backfield locked up like this, these guys could be dangerous for the next 10 years.
Well, and it's going to help them pay elsewhere over the next couple of years, because the Eagles typically pay corners a lot, but it's often the veterans. It's the Nnamdis. It's the Maxwell. Slay is a veteran. I mean, Troy was making a lot of money as a veteran. The bottom line, obviously, Bobby T is a veteran. Like, they have that nice advantage at a very premium position.
This is unbelievable to
It's really
hit,
good.
To hit like this. And look, we don't know for absolutely sure, but it really feels like we can take it to the bank. We like these players and their outlook and the way they play. We like what they bring to us. We think they're way ahead of schedule. And that's crazy to hit in the same draft on the same position, which is a tough position for us drafting. We've been, you know, previously going back all the way to Sheldon and Lito to show production draft-wise, I think.
Yeah, but it was year three that those guys actually started playing. They were backups for 2 years.
And because they had the luxury
of Eric Gallen
behind
the last time you had
three great cornerbacks.
Jalen Mills played as a rookie, but it wasn't like he was high level. The last time you had a legitimate rookie cornerback, legitimate, that played and played well was Eric Gallen. That was 1988. That's a long time ago.
You know how well that bodes. Think about that, what Eric Allen became. It's not easy to show up and play right out the gates as a cornerback. The Kansas City Chiefs, a couple years back when we lost to them in the Super Bowl, they had two young cornerbacks who played for them right away. And look at that, absolutely, for Steve Spagnuolo, that's helped him out.
Yep.
That their contracts, their youth, man. And he can do all sorts of things. We will also think about the versatility it will provide us. We know that Slay, he's 33 years old, and every game he has a different injury now, but we're okay.
Well, to this point they have been, but we'll see against better competition.
Right.
Let's listen. There was an interesting...
They're confident enough to take anyone on. And look, for my money, I think they can handle these top receivers, because I've seen them handle top receivers.
Yeah, but we got to see when a quarterback can get the ball there.
That's very true.
These quarterbacks have been
the level of quarterback.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Against top receivers with great quarterbacks, how do they look then?
All right, so CBS yesterday put out their top team, Nance and Romo, for this broadcast. And there was an interesting exchange at one point, which points the finger at us, not just us WIP, but us callers and listeners and fans. I mean, we know, James, would you say consternation is a fair word to sum up the first 2 months of how people reacted? And
that's fair.
I mean, last week people were calling for Sirianni to be fired.
It's true.
Last week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to Romo and Nance at a certain point. I don't even remember when this was, but presumably when the Eagles started getting up.
It was at 6:38. I know that because I sent myself an email about it happening to get the audio, but Wechter had already gotten it.
Okay.
But at 6:38 p.m., whatever time that was in the game.
So we get the Nance Romo finger wag at, like, you know, all of us. Here's what they said fairly late in that game.
It's real. They can win the Super Bowl.
There's a lot to like, and there's a lot of negativity for some reason about this team that comes in on this four-game win streak. Gainwell picks up only two. And it's an interesting thing. There's a lot of talk about, almost talk radio-esque, about what they can't do, what they're not doing, how they fail to do this, how they fail to do that. But you start looking at the numbers they're compiling, especially this last month, the defensive stats, the best rush defense, the best total yards defense, the second best rushing offense for a span of over a month. And those add up to some really good results in the end.
Yeah, and Sirianni takes on a lot of pressure with it, you know, all the talk, but I mean, that's just passionate fans. I actually like when fans care and they want to be a part of it and everything, but when you're winning, it's hard to win the NFL, and they're winning. He deserves credit.
All right, so there's a lot in there, and
Romo shouting and giving us some surprise.
I actually shockingly, and I don't like anything he says.
So there's a lot in there. I mean, look, you can make the case that we, the collective, or we, the individual, have overreacted at times. You can also make the case a lot of what the Eagles are doing now is better because they made adjustments that we called for.
Yes, their players called for them.
Like running the football, you know, like that was a common theme, run the football more. Like not butchering. I mean, yesterday there was really no fourth down decisions yesterday to butcher, but I mean, that's been a thing that's, you know, defensively, John, for a couple of years, there's been talk of, and Seth, who will join us, Seth Joyner coming up in a half an hour. I mean, Seth's always talking about create confusion for the quarterback by sometimes blitzing linebackers and safeties and sometimes threatening to blitz linebackers and safeties, even if you don't send them.
We hadn't previously. And that's the big thing with Vic Fangio that I enjoy, being that my job as a fullback was to match up with linebackers all the time. Man, when they get up in the line of scrimmage, they change all your calls. They mess with your mind. You have to, especially in our case where we got a new right guard, we got a new left tackle. These guys, everything has to be communicated. If that linebacker is up past the shoelaces of the D tackle, you got a gap call. If it's a deeper drop, you've got a different call where you're going to have to adjust differently. Different fronts require different adjustments. And in order for everyone to do the right thing and to have Jalen look protected and upright, everyone has to do the right thing. That's almost impossible to have five big nasty guys. When you got two of them who are new for this week, you know, they're not as experienced with the guys around them, to get all these calls communicated in the noise in Dallas, it really is. It looks like the first half when they start going crazy and sending people. Our defense is getting so much more similarly, so much more run out of sending our linebackers because they actually get there when we send them. Which
they time it up well, yeah.
They're tough. When they take on these backs, and that's something people are doing to us, taking our backs out of the route tree by blitzing the linebacker that our back has to block.
Yep.
And more often than not, they're getting in there because it's hard for backs to block these linebackers. It works both ways. Our linebackers defeat back blocks with consistency.
That's great, man.
Zach Bond talked about it after the game. What do you call it? Block demolition or something? Block destruction. He does that.
Well, look, man, it is an interesting the reaction to the season and then the reaction to the reaction. I mean, James, I know you think people have reacted a bit early because the Eagles ease their way into the year with the way they approach training camp and the preseason games.
Yeah, I say it every year. It feels like the first month of the season, what you see the first month of the season across the league doesn't really, predict what's going to happen the rest of the season because these teams are just not as ready to play and they have to work themselves into football shape.
Of course, you can make the case if they're more ready to play, maybe you grab a win earlier, but then you can say, well, maybe you're more injured late.
Yeah.
This is how the Eagles approach it, clearly. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. The Merrill Montage coming up in the next couple of minutes. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Great, Patrick.
Pretty excited, Patrick. We got a pretty darn good team here now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely getting excited, and it's nice to kind of be wrong when the team's doing better than what you thought. But I'm loving this defense. I heard a lot of guys say, like the eye test yesterday, we got a defense that's going around throwing their bodies and hitting – just smashing guys. And that's really nice to see, like these young cornerbacks and we got linebackers, John Ritchie it's
inside linebackers. Well, I'm still not sure that we have the outside guys that we really want.
Well,
off-ball inside linebackers.
I'll take what we have because it seems like so much more than what we've had in the past.
Some production from our outside linebackers in this game that I was not expecting. Didn't we have – had a Jalix Hunt sighting.
There was a play by him, and there was a Huff play.
He played more snaps than Huff. Jalix Hunt, significantly more snaps.
Jalix Hunt, yes, sighting, nice play. But the Huff sack looked like a Reggie White move.
Did you see it?
I'm not saying he's anywhere close. I'm saying it was the Reggie White hump move that's, like you blow, you take the inside arm and you just sort of lift the guy off the ground and move him. It was tough.
Here's the thing, John. He still, though, Bryce Hoff only played 12 plays.
Which is unbelievably shocking in a game like that where you want to get him reps because, look, it's an inferior opponent.
Well, especially in the fourth quarter.
If you don't have faith in him because he needs more reps at this job, get him more reps.
When you put the backups in the fourth quarter, when you look at the sheet at the end of the game and say, okay, how many snaps did everyone have? I mean, Patrick, I would have thought just by falling backwards into it, he would have played in the fourth quarter and had more than 12 snaps.
Well, it is crazy. We're doing this without you know, our pass rush is the one thing that I still need to like to see, you know, start getting stronger. And real quick, last thing, John Ritchie, what do you make of the sacks we took yesterday?
They threw a lot at us. That first half was rough. They got aggressive with stunts. It is very difficult when you've got a new left tackle. Fred Johnson's out there, and he's trying to – you got at the end of the line of scrimmage, Micah Parsons looping the whole way around down deep inside. Swapping off stunts is something that's tough, and it takes practice. It takes communication. It takes familiarity with the guys next to you. And again, two out of the three – two of the five offensive linemen were, you know, not as experienced with that group, and you could see with the stunts. They didn't swap them off the way that they needed to. And Dallas, they really threw the kitchen sink at us in the first half. We did a great job in the second half of contending with what they put out there, and we picked it up, and we max protected things. You know, you keep everyone in except for Devontae and AJ. You have your tight ends stay in and block, help those tackles. In the second half, that changed things a lot.
So let's listen to more how it went down yesterday. Marilyn Mike, of course, on the call. And we always love, after they win, we get to bring you a montage of the victory. And this was one the Eagles got, you know, very easily, obviously. Second half, it was a romp. Let's listen to how it went down yesterday. Big day on WIP.
Play like they did since week six, it should be easy, but they still need to play hard to win game seven.
Rush takes it, fumbles it, and the Eagles say they have it.
And they do.
And they do. Hurts is back. Here comes the rush. He swings it out to Barkley. Barkley breaks three tackles, takes it to the one. Hurts under center. Hurts sneaks, and he's in for the touchdown. It works. To the Eagles, break the ice. Rush. He gives it off to Elliott. And Elliott fumbles the football. Eagles recover the ball in the end zone. And it was recovered by DeGene. Eagles lead the Cowboys 7-6. Hurts. He lets it fly. He's got Brown. Brown at the 50. Brown at the 47-yard line. Brown came out of nowhere with a cloud of dust.
Really?
And a hearty hi-ho silver.
Really, really well done.
He's going to run. He's got plenty of room. 40. 35, 30, and he slides down shy of the 20.
Excellent decision.
Hurts looks. Here comes the rush. He's rolling, firing, complete. Touchdown! Dallas got him! And the Eagles will just take a snap, kneel down, and head for the locker room. Fortunately, because of that last drive leading 14-6. Here is the punt. Backing up is DeGene. He takes it at the 32, starts up the center of the field. He's at the 40, turns the corner to the 45-50, and run out of bounds inside the Cowboys' 40.
What an outstanding job, Cooper DeGene, putting the Eagles' offense now in Dallas Cowboy territory.
Handoff goes to Gainwell. He's at the 15, to 10, and he spins down to the 8. Hurts is starting to run. Now he fires. Complete! Touchdown! This time it goes to Johnny Wilson, his first touchdown in the NFL. Hurts is looping it deep downfield, and it is caught. What another great grab, and this time it is A.J. Brown. Gives off to Barkley, up the middle he goes, moving the pile almost 9 yards. That's more like it. It's Barkley slashing for the first down and taking it to the 20 at 9 more yards. Gives it to Barkley. He's at the 15. Cuts to the outside. He's at the 10. He's at the 9. Barkley is starting to move the pile. Hurts. Keeps it. Runs. Cuts back. Inside. Touchdown number 10. The Birds, 31. The Cowboys, 6. Now Kenny Pickett works hard. And this is an opportunity for him to have some fun. It is over. They just bury them. Eagles 34, Cowboys 6. Eagles are now 7-2.
Well, a great job by the Eagles winning that thing in a romp in the end. I got to tell you, John, that play by Saquon early, Because let's remember, the offense didn't do much in the first half, and they got the ball around the 20 on a turnover, and they were about to have to kick a field goal. Saquon takes a swing pass. He is totally supposed to be tackled. I mean, there's two guys coming up on him, and somehow he gets his way all the way down to the one-yard line.
He's got moves that are just
incredible. Incredible.
The inside spin.
Totally.
Yeah, the shake.
Plus the power.
He can, and then he puts his shoulder down, runs through people, always finishing. Man, he finishes low. He finishes strong and forward.
He's a remarkable player. Let's listen to Saquon after the game because, you know, as we alluded to earlier this segment, and of course you can weigh in on everything from yesterday, 215-592-9494. As we alluded to earlier, it's been quite a season to react to. 7-2, but a lot of negativity has been expressed by all of us. Me, John, James, Rhea, all were, at the very least, the vast majority of callers. Saquon, and I'm talking about over the last, you know, 2 months. Saquon yesterday after the game, interesting comment about the start of the season.
Given how far it's kind of come since the bye, where kind of, you know, 2-2 starts, a little bit rocky. What does it say?
I wouldn't say it's rocky. I think you guys made it seem rocky. No offense. Like, I mean, you guys are doing your job, but panic outside of the locker room kind of, you know, it was from outside the locker room. It wasn't in here. We had no panic. We kind of treated it like the preseason games, to be honest. That was kind of the mindset. We was like, all right, we're done with preseason. Now let's go get things shaken.
Now, I don't love hearing September's like preseason games, right? I mean, that doesn't work for me.
But I don't think he doesn't strike me as a guy who does panic. He's like the most even-keeled person.
You know what the other thing is, Rhea? He came from the New York Giants.
Exactly.
Where for him, 2-2 is a glorious start.
Yes. I mean, like, he felt like, what are these people complaining about?
I think there was, as of, I believe, last year, and I don't know what it was this year, I think the Giants have started 0-2. Like 8 out of 9 years or something? Wow. Something like that? So, you know.
Again, he never had a win as a member of the Giants against the Cowboys.
It's incredible.
0-10.
It really is. All right, Seth Joyner in studio with us in about 15 minutes. Let's talk to Rick, calling from Easton right now. Hi, Rick.
Good stuff this morning, everybody. You know, it's interesting. You know, if this team played the five teams they played the last 7 games of the year last year, they may have won one game if they were lucky. That's
well,
a big difference.
I know your point. They were losing to these type of teams, Arizona and the Giants last year. You're right. Like, they were facing some of the worst teams in football, and not only losing, but in the Giants' case, losing bad.
But just a couple points. You know, when you lose an Andy Reid, think about this. When you lose an Andy Reid, who is making himself a legacy Hall of Fame coach and may end up as a top 3 coach, the last 12 years since he left, this team has been to 2 Super Bowls, and they've been to 6 or 7 playoffs, and they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You look at this franchise. When you lose coaches that have made it in the NFL, like Harbaugh, Gruden, Bowles made a name for himself over there in Tampa Bay. Peterson wins a Super Bowl. Reich. Steichen looks like he's turning around Arizona.
Well, Spagnuolo, Rivera, the list goes on, for sure.
Yeah, you just look at that. You know, the Eagles, the last 12 years since they've lost this top 3 coach, maybe in the history of the game, it could be a lot worse.
Doesn't that say a lot about the organization itself, though? That they can retain the wisdom of the previous organizations, the previous coaching incarnations of the organization, and build their knowledge base and actually get wiser through the years.
Rick,
last 30 years,
Jeffrey
Lurie and this organization have increased their knowledge and savvy exponentially every year, and it just keeps growing, and it's part of why we remain at the top of the league.
Totally.
We're just smart.
Rick, it's why when we gave game balls out today, I gave mine to Jeffrey Lurie. It just, he runs it. And wouldn't we love to have Lurie running the Sixers and the Flyers? I mean, come on.
When do we start trashing Josh Harris for the week? I'm just wondering what that starts.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Now.
For the
today.
Sixers and the Commanders?
Yeah, I get it. All right, Rick, go ahead, buddy.
Real quick, if I could, you know, Daniels versus Hurts. Let's let Daniels continue to get those training wheels off. Look what happened to Stroud from last year so far this year. But here's what concerns me. The Detroit Lions on the road beat a playoff team who has a winning record that had 5 interceptions. Think about that.
I get it.
That Detroit team is going to be formidable. And, yes, I think we are a contender because look at our record. And you know what? It looks like the Georgia Bulldog defense, which we needed, does turn the corner with this defensive coordinator. I just hope the salaries on the offensive line of the ball doesn't stop us from keeping some of these defensive players the next couple of years.
Well, that'll be interesting. And, Rick, thanks for the call. Great call. Look, February and March will be, as it always is, a fascinating conversation about how to keep this thing moving, going, and growing, and all that stuff. And, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me watching the game yesterday is what are they going to do salary-wise when it comes to N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond?
Linebackers, you don't have to worry as much about inside, off-the-ball linebackers as the edge.
For sure.
Linebackers.
But, I mean, Bond's going to get paid some money. He's going to get, like, they weren't willing.
What does that look like? But it's a lot easier to handle than if he were an edge guy.
Well,
and I don't know exactly what the numbers look like, but we're talking significant discount.
But here's what I'm talking about. If Zach Bond gets offered a TJ Edwards kind of contract, what does Howie do? I don't know. I don't know what he does. I know this. It's a conundrum.
I know what
I
would do.
Think he's better than TJ?
Yes. I know what I would do.
I think he's definitely better.
I do.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure.
I'm pretty confident.
I think it should be.
I'm 100% confident.
It's a no-brainer.
I think he's absolutely.
I don't know why they're waiting now, but maybe it's just a matter of they're talking to his agent and it's an ongoing.
Well, listen, his agent might be saying, "Look, my guy hasn't made squat top in the NFL. He's about to get paid, so I'm 2 months away, 3 months away from being a free agent."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's...
So he's got a lot of leverage right now.
Unless he gets injured, he's got a lot of leverage unless he gets hurt.
He's playing.
Hertz's performance yesterday, obviously very slow at first. Third quarter was magnificent. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game, netting out Jalen's performance.
I thought he did a lot of good things. You know, obviously didn't start the way we wanted it to start. But there's something to be said for guys that can rebound and play a really good game after things don't go right early on. We'll want some of those plays back. He'll want some of those plays back. But great great job handling adversity, putting his head down, continuing to work. Again, I say it to you guys all the time, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He knows, every game's not going to be perfect. I'm really proud of him and how he responded to a slow start. And help lead us to a victory.
So there's a lot to be encouraged with Jalen right now. The biggest thing for me is his running. It was a huge part of what he brought to the table in his first 2 years. It had obviously lessened last year. He looks more athletically spry again. He's picking his spots. He's doing it at times.
Oh, so he's not washed up at 26? He's not a washed up athlete past his prime?
Athletically.
Like you were telling me.
Athletically, he looks a lot.
2 weeks ago?
Wasn't 2 weeks ago, but he looks a lot better.
was 2 weeks ago.
He looks a lot better. Look, I still have my worries about him in the passing game, but as a rusher, he looks a lot better than I thought at the end of last year and at the early part of this year. That's true. There's no question. Let's go to Don right now. He's calling from Levittown. Don, good morning.
Good morning, fellas, and happy Monday.
It sure is. Monday.
I just want to keep it real, real quick. And all of this I got to preface by saying the defense played an excellent game. I have some questions. Why did it take 2 quarters for them to figure out how to stop the pass rush? Why did it? When is the offense going to play a full?
Because they
full
got
quarter?
It. They got coaches and good players too. That they had a plan that they watched on film. They felt like they could defeat us with, and they brought it. They mixed it up. They threw all kinds of crazy stuff at our offense, and our offense had to sort it out. They didn't do a good job at first.
And, Don, at times guys are just beat. I mean, that one play where Gainwell gets beat, that's not a coaching error. That's not a Hurts error.
Yeah.
That's a Gainwell
error.
That's
Kenny Gainwell needs to do a better job of pass pro, and that's a hard ask.
Not to mention, Don, let's not act like Fred Johnson. Is that his name, Fred Johnson?
Yeah, Fred Johnson.
Like, let's not act like he's Mulata. I mean, that's
missed 4 games now. Is he eligible to come back soon?
He's hanging, and Fred Johnson's hanging in there, but Don, he's not as good as Mulata is. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, the question is, are they a championship team? If we were to play the Kansas City Chiefs today, I do not believe we would win. Now,
Did you watch the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday? Did you watch the Kansas City Chiefs recently? Yes, they're undefeated, but I don't know how in the world they're hanging on by the
8
skin of their
comeback
teeth.
Victories. It's amazing.
They don't look as effective as we do.
all of our games, we've either, you know, had a fluke play, we've gotten by the skin of our teeth, we've played a team that's
watch the Chiefs. They blocked a field goal yesterday to win the game.
It's kind of like when the Eagles were 9-1 last year or 10-1, whatever it was, with strange ways to win.
That's what I'm talking about, though. I'm saying that they, even though they are getting those fluke plays too, but they are a better team than us. The Kansas City Chiefs are a better team.
Well, I think I think they are too. But here's the thing, and Don, appreciate the call. The Eagles have put themselves in the fight. They're in the fight. They're probably amongst 6 to 8 teams that have a better shot than the rest to win a Super Bowl. And that's, you know, that's
there are only two teams in the NFL with a better record than them. And it's because the Bills have played more games. They're 8-2 instead of 7-2. Like, that's it. In all of the NFL.
No, it's got to be more. Because
the Chiefs and the Bills are the only two teams that have a better record.
And the Lions.
And the Lions. Excuse me. Three teams. Sorry, I forgot about the Lions. Yeah, three teams. Okay, so, there you go.
They're in the hunt.